We're a little early to start the show, but that's okay because we've got lots to do on Live and Local today. My guest is Sam Rees, who is an emeritus professor of music education at the University of Illinois. And I got to know him through a group that I belong to that if you're a regular listener to the show, you may have caught us all together on one of our Friday shows. It's called the Audiophile Music Society of Champaign County, which sounds terribly pretentious, but really is nothing of the sort. And actually, I knew Sam's name, and he apparently knew mine, and I missed the presentation that he gave to our group on jazz. But I heard wonderful things from my colleagues in the group, and then he was our guest at another meeting at one point, and I thought it might be fun to have Sam on just to talk a little bit about jazz, which is kind of ridiculous to try to do in the space of an hour. So he's going to focus on jazz in Chicago, particularly as it has to do with the Chicago Jazz Festival, and even more especially as it has to do with, at least in some cases, jazz musicians in Chicago who are on the faculty at the University of Illinois or musicians who have are alumni of the jazz program at the University of Illinois. So we'll be hearing lots of music and hearing a lot about jazz and hearing a lot about Chicago on the show today with Sam Rees. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. We heard there's a boat that's leaving soon for New York. That's music by George Gershwin from Porgy and Bess. And it was Clark Terry, the trumpeter with Chicago Jazz Orchestra, conducted by Jeff Lindberg. And that was the first selection by my guest on Live and Local today, Sam Rees, as it has to do with the Chicago Jazz Festival, which is happening on the 2nd of September. So that's a week from today already. And running through Sunday the 5th, right, in Grant Park. And there's so many places in Chicago where you can hear jazz, but that's the place to be next weekend. And Sam was kind enough to come in and agree to sort of give us a survey as guided by the Chicago Jazz Festival. Let me ask you a question, Sam, before we start out. I actually printed out something from Wikipedia, the fount of all knowledge, and about it, I thought there would be an entry on Chicago jazz, but I didn't find one. I found one on music in Chicago, and they talk a little bit about the Chicago style and then modern Chicago jazz, with the suggestion that the original Chicago style sort of came up from New Orleans one way or another. Right. But do you want to start there, or can you at least address briefly what you would call the Chicago style?
Yeah, I don't know if there is any more a recognizable Chicago style, but there certainly was in the late 20s, early 30s, after Louis Armstrong and Joe King Oliver sort of brought jazz to Chicago from New Orleans. A group of young musicians called the Austin High Gang really were the beginning of a sort of a Chicago variation on that New Orleans style. One musician that a lot of listeners might recognize the name of that was in that group was Jimmy McPartland. And people will recognize that McPartland last name because of Marion McPartland. And Marion and Jimmy were husband and wife. So anyway, the Austin High Gang developed a kind of a sharper, harder version of the New Orleans style and came to be called the Chicago jazz style.
Is that Austin High as an H-I-G-H? Is that how you spell his name?
Right. So it's actually Austin High School, because these young musicians were actually in high school at the time they started having an impact on the Chicago jazz scene. Benny Goodman was a member of a later version of that group, as was Gene Krupa, So names that lots of listeners would recognize.
But they didn't go to Austin High School.
They
I'm
did
guessing.
Not go to that high school. But those original boys really got that group started and then had a number of spinoff groups from that. That's usually what's written about today in the jazz history books and so on.
So that's Austin High in Chicago or Austin High in New Orleans?
Actually, in Chicago. Austin High School in, I believe, a western neighborhood of Chicago, but I'm not too sure about that.
I wonder if that's still around, the school.
I don't know. I think not. I looked one time on a map, but couldn't find it.
So tell us a little bit about why you picked a particular recording. I didn't mention one thing you told me in advance, but why this particular recording that we started off with?
A couple of reasons. This is a fairly recent recording by Chicago Jazz Orchestra, and it's conducted by Jeff Lindberg, as you mentioned. Jeff is an alumnus of our School of Music from around the late 70s, I believe. I'm not real certain. And a couple of reasons. This is a transcription of really a great jazz classic that was first performed by Miles Davis with arrangements by Gil Evans, of course, the Porgy and Bess musical. And this album is studied, written about by historians all the time. Jeff Lindberg is known for his excellent transcriptions. And so he did an oral transcription of a smaller group version. The Miles Davis group was a smaller group, and transcribed that for a more contemporary, larger jazz orchestra, and then invited the really great and legendary jazz trumpeter Clark Terry to play the role of Miles Davis. They aren't merely copying what Davis and Evans did, but they're playing in the spirit of what those did. And another reason I picked the recording is it's just a really excellent quality recording and got a rare 5-star review from Downbeat magazine. And jazz fans will recognize that's kind of our premier jazz magazine in the nation today.
So getting a 5-star review from them is something.
It is really something. To my knowledge, if 2 recordings a year get a 5-star review, and they review dozens and dozens and dozens of recordings. So it's quite a distinction to earn that 5-star review.
So they're pretty hard on folks.
Right. The other obvious reason I picked this recording is really the opening performance of the 32nd Annual Jazz Festival on Thursday night is with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra. And they're accompanying another real legend in the jazz world, the pianist Ahmad Jamal and his trio. And I believe what's going to be happening is the Chicago Jazz Orchestra will be playing arrangements of Ahmad Jamal's compositions along with the Ahmad Jamal piano trio. So that's, I think this will represent what we will hear near at the beginning of the festival on Thursday night next week.
And that starts, on Thursday evening, because the festival actually starts at noon.
It actually does,
that
right.
day, because I'm looking there and thinking, let's see, it says Umbrella Music, Bridging Improvised Music and Dance at noon on Thursday.
Right.
Look ahead to the evening. It's on there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. There's basically music Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, each afternoon and each evening. And the evening performances are in the larger venues. This year, there are 2, the relatively new Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park, which I'm sure many of your listeners have been to. It's really a beautiful setting in a great urban landscape scene there in a beautiful park. And that's Thursday and Friday night. We'll be at the Pritzker Pavilion with superb outdoor sound, by the way.
Is that the Frank Gehry designed
it
pavilion?
It is.
Yeah, so I did hear a show there, classical Grant Park Symphony, sometime this summer. Mm-hmm. Really sounded quite good.
I don't want to overstate things, but it's really a stunning environment because you have that backdrop that's truly great architecture. You have an urban landscape around you. So it's just a pleasure simply to be there. And for those of us who love music, the sound in that venue is really superb, a highly natural quality of sound, almost as if you were in a high-quality indoor auditorium. Then on Saturday and Sunday, we move to the more traditional location, which is the Petrillo Music Shell in Grant Park, facing the lake.
Where the symphony used to play.
Correct.
You know, I had wondered if they still left that up there, because I haven't been in Grant Park that much. So that's obviously still there.
Yeah, still there, still functioning. Those of us who really care about sound are really pleased to be at Pritzker because we believe the quality of the sound reinforcement is so much better at Pritzker than at Grant Park. But it's very good at Grant Park as well.
There's something about the old-fashioned band shell that mm-hmm. just
right.
rings
and it's
nostalgic.
Historic.
Yeah.
It's a very historic
yeah.
location.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have up next?
Well, next I'd like to turn to one of our faculty members, Professor Larry Gray, who is a member of the Ramsey Lewis Trio. Ramsey Lewis is a very well-known, very widely admired jazz pianist who has really lived and worked in Chicago his entire life. And Professor Gray is the bass player in Ramsey Lewis Trio. So we'll be hearing him and Ramsey Lewis. It's actually Ramsey Lewis' 75th birthday. And so that night.
Oh, really?
And so it's being billed as a 75th birthday celebration for Ramsey Lewis. Ramsey Lewis is much admired and liked in Chicago because he's been an excellent ambassador for jazz in general and the city in particular. He's probably the best known jazz musician from Chicago by those outside of the city. He has earned really our nation's highest recognition in jazz. That comes from the National Endowment for the Arts and their recognition that they call the Jazz Masters Program. So each year they name two or three jazz musicians who've had lifetimes of achievement in jazz, and he earned that award in 2007. Well, back to Professor Gray. He has really got a reputation as what jazz musicians call the first call bass player in Chicago. In other words, he is the bass player that everyone wants to play with when they come to Chicago. And I'm sure that's for a variety of reasons, but one of those is probably his versatility. He's known not only for being an excellent jazz player, he plays very well within the classical repertoire as well and plays regularly with the Chicago Lyric Orchestra as well as the Civic Orchestra.
Really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And you would know, of course, Kevin, as a result of that, his bowing technique is superb. Well, that's not always the case with jazz bass players. So he's known for his versatility of combining his bowing technique along with the traditional, you know, pizzicato or plucking technique that we more associate with the jazz bass sound. So the track I picked is a track from Ramsey Lewis's latest recording called Songs from the Heart. And this track, we're just hearing an excerpt, but it features Professor Gray, and you'll recognize both bowing and playing in the pizzicato technique as well.
Great. So it's Larry Gray with the Ramsey Lewis Trio. No, Trio, did you say?
That's correct.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A tune called Exhilaration here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. It was a little excerpt from a tune called Exhilaration with the Ramsey Lewis Trio featuring bassist Larry Gray, who is on faculty at the University of Illinois School of Music in the jazz program, but he's also primarily works in Chicago. And that was a selection made here by my guest on Live and Local today, Sam Reese, who is an emeritus professor of music education at the University of Illinois. And we're talking about Chicago jazz as it pertains to the Chicago Jazz Festival and also to some faculty and alums of the U of I jazz program. The festival starts next Thursday, the 2nd of September, and Ramsey Lewis is going to be there on Friday night, if I'm reading this schedule correctly, is the last featured group at 8:30 Friday night in the Pritzker Pavilion in Grant Park, and it's his 75th birthday celebration that day. And Sam, you explained to me a minute ago why I was getting really confused when you were talking about the traditional the Chicago Jazz Orchestra being there on opening night, and I'm looking at this schedule I printed from the Chicago Jazz Festival, and I don't see anything at all for Thursday night. But you tell me there's sort of a odd reason for that.
I think we've got a little bit of Chicago politics going on. Technically, the Thursday night program is part of another series of performances that happens each Thursday night for about 6 weeks. It's programmed by a really good organization called the Jazz Institute of Chicago. They have a series they call Made in Chicago, World Class Jazz. And so the performance with Chicago Jazz Orchestra and Ahmad Jamal is the last of that series of performances. So technically is not labeled as part of the Chicago Jazz Festival. But I think for all practical purposes, it's occurring in the same place, same area. So I think listeners will consider that to be really the opening night of the festival.
So does that event with the Chicago Jazz Institute, is that going on now, or is that going on the same week?
It's going on now. It occurs each Thursday night for the 6 weeks prior to Labor Day weekend.
Which happens to include the opening Thursday of
Correct.
The opening day of.
Correct.
So if somebody wants that schedule for Thursday night, do they have to go to that website?
They can get both schedules, actually, from the same website. The website is called Jazz in Chicago, and that's the word in, I-N. So again, jazzinchicago.org. And that is the website of the Jazz Institute of Chicago. They program both of the series we're talking about. They program the World Class Jazz series, and they program the annual jazz festival. So you can see easily on the right side of their homepage two different links for those two programs. So listeners who want more detail can find it there at that.
Now website. That makes even less sense. You know, if you're programming both events, well,
right.
but it can be found. That's Chicago for you. Okay. Well, this is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, where visitors of all ages can uncover and discover the wonderment of America's musical past through guided tours Monday through Friday at the University of Illinois. More information is at SousaArchives.org. And, of course, our great American music is jazz.
Right.
And that's our topic for today, Chicago jazz in particular, which isn't so shabby either. What do we have next up, or where do you want to take us next, Sam?
Well, next I'd like to go to another alum of the program. It's actually James DePogany, who will be performing earlier in the evening on Friday, so 5 p.m. on Friday at the Pritzker Pavilion. And James DePogany is a professor also, but happens to be a professor of music theory at the University of Michigan, where he has taught since 1966, so many decades of teaching at University of Michigan. He has become widely known for his true mastery of early jazz piano styles. So many people will know that we're referring to their stride piano styles, ragtime-oriented styles, and early swing style piano. He's been working for over 35 years with a group he calls the Chicago Jazz Band. And I believe that's his reference to this style of jazz that did arrive in Chicago from New Orleans and brought to full fruition by Louis Armstrong and Joe King Oliver and many other musicians, and is associated with that germinal period of jazz that happened in Chicago in the late 20s and early 30s. So he's trying to keep alive this this culture and enjoyment of the earliest jazz styles. And he's a terrific pianist. So I have just a very short selection. It was a little hard to find full selections, not lots of recordings from his group, Chicago Jazz Band. But here we'll hear him play up his chorus, his improvised chorus, from the tune called I Want to Be Happy. And it's an excerpt from one of his recordings that he calls What You Gonna Swing Tonight.
Both of those are great names. James DePagni here on Live and Local. Imagine a lot of listeners, or some listeners anyway, will have heard you mentioned stride piano, which isn't necessarily what he was doing there. But what does that mean?
It refers mostly to this left-hand technique of the piano player, where he or she plays a bass note followed immediately by a chord in the middle register of the piano. So lots of musicians refer to it as the boom chuck style.
Well, that's boom exactly chuck, what I was thinking.
So it's the boom chuck style, but that's a simplification, of course, of what the really great technical skill is entailed at doing that style. And if you could think back to what we just heard, the rapidity of change between the lower bass register and then the middle register is quite impressive. And then the right hand, of course, does the melodic and improvising work. So two very independent hands going on there. And it's a style that's just full of energy, full of fun, very easy to enjoy.
So he was using that in that?
He was using that stride style right there.
When I've seen people do that, I mean, you were talking about the technical difficulty. I'm amazed at how they can not miss, you know, because you got to go, you know, you got to jump, you know, anywhere to at least a few octaves often.
Right.
And hit it with your pinky finger, the bass note, and then jump back up and land the chord and back and forth. And I'm sure people do miss now and then, but,
right,
you know, you got to have pretty good aim.
Yeah.
And muscle memory.
You definitely do. And part of the fun of the style, of course, the sound of it, again, is just full of rhythmic energy. But a lot of the fun is just watching a pianist play in that style with the rapidity of movement in the left hand. It's very visual. And like you say, the knowledge that he or she could miss at any point there, and sort of the risk that the player is taking in that moment to play with that kind of demanding technique.
Maybe that's the jazz piano equivalent of walking a tightrope.
Yeah, something. a good analogy. I'd like to mention a couple other things about Professor DePagni. It seems to be the festival of birthdays. Friday is his 70th birthday, so doing a little bit of birthday celebration for him. And I suspect many of your listeners have heard Professor DePagni play often on this radio station, because he's a very frequent guest on Prairie Home Companion.
Oh, is he? I'm trying to remember if I've heard him on there or not.
Right. His own website and other information sources show that he plays pretty regularly on Prairie Home Companion. And that's a style, of course, we do hear with some regularity on that show.
Yeah, as long as you mentioned it, that airs on this station Saturday nights at 5 and rebroadcast Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And when Sam said Friday is James DePagni's birthday, we're talking about next Friday.
Correct.
Not tomorrow, because it's next Thursday that the Chicago Jazz Festival begins in Grant Park, and he'll be on there on Friday night at 5 o'clock. You know, just as an aside, Sam, reminding listeners, my guest is Sam Reese here on Live and Local. And I introduced you as an emeritus professor of music education at the U of I. And if you read Sam's bio on the School of Music website, it's all talking about this or that thing in music education and teaching and so on. How and when did you get interested in the history of jazz? And why do you, it mentions nothing about that in your bio.
Probably got interested in jazz when I was about 12 years old, when my mother took me to a high school jazz band performance. So that got the blood rolling right there. And I've just been a jazz fan really through my whole adult life. I never got the good fortune to teach jazz appreciation or history in my own full-time work as a professor and a public school teacher. But now I am getting the good fortune to teach jazz listening and appreciation courses on two programs we have on campus for senior citizens for enrichment learning. One is the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute program.
Or OLLI,
mm-hmm. Right. And the other is the program that used to be known as Elder Hostel, who has recently changed the name of that program to Rhodes Scholars. So I've been teaching senior citizens in both those settings with much enjoyment, and mostly just to promote the enjoyment of jazz.
So do you have to be a Rhodes Scholar to teach on that program, or do you have to be one to... That sounds somewhat misleading.
It's a bit of a play on words. The Rhodes Scholar is R-O-A-D, Rhodes Scholar, because the way the Elder Hostel program is organized, they pick a venue or a location, and then people really come to that location from all over the nation. So I have taught programs for both Rhodes Scholar and will be now this year for OLLI around the Chicago Jazz Festival. We stay in a downtown Chicago hotel, and I give talks during the day, and then we attend the performances at night. So it's quite enjoyable.
So I caught you just in time.
Right.
Because you'll be off there next week.
Mm-hmm. Good timing.
So the Rhodes Scholar is one of those you really need to, you need print or television to see that. Radio.
You do.
You get fooled, as I
right.
just did.
Almost everyone that I know knows the program still as Elder Hostel. It's had a long program.
Well, that's how that's certainly how I've
mm-hmm.
heard of it.
Right.
Let's see. What did we have next on our list here?
Well, next, unfortunately, I can only speak about our next Champaign-Urbana artist, Tamika Reed, who is a cellist and does almost all of her work in the Chicago area. She's going to be performing at 12:30 in the afternoon at the Chicago Cultural Center.
We're still talking about next Friday.
Right, next Friday. Thank you. The Cultural Center, some people may know of as the old main Chicago Library building, a very beautiful building itself, both interior and exterior. And Tamika Reed will be playing with her trio, a string trio, that she calls Here In Now. Unfortunately, I could not find recordings because I don't think any exist yet of that group. But just to tell you a little bit more about her background, she is a doctoral student right now in the School of Music program. And she's really made herself quite an important member of groups by very well-known Chicago jazz musicians like the singer Dee Alexander, the trumpeter and wonderful conductor Orbert Davis, and the flutist Nicole Mitchell. And Chicago jazz fans will know all of those names very readily, all very active in the Chicago jazz scene. And I think what Tamika is doing with her trio is a bit of a pushing the envelope of the jazz style. She describes it as jazz-tinged, avant-classical composition. Some listeners will know that Chicago is quite an important center for avant-garde or experimental jazz, and has been since the mid-60s with the organization called Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. And that organization is still quite viable after a more than 40-year history now. Nicole Mitchell is very active in that organization. And they are musicians who really take the entire history of jazz, use all the styles of jazz as the ingredients for their very original reworkings of that, along with styles that move beyond traditional melody, rhythm, harmony, and explore sonic textures and qualities for the inherent interest in sound itself, much like so-called classical avant-garde music or new music. So that's where the boundaries of jazz and classical new music really cross over quite readily.
I was just listening earlier this morning to WFT in Champaign, Shelley Master's program, and she was playing something from the Tone Road Ramblers mm-hmm. here in town, and that's the sort of thing they often do.
Right.
They had a vocalist on a particular tune that I was hearing, if you could call it a tune, you know.
Right.
It was, as you said, it was very experimental with sound and certainly non-traditional melody. They may have had one in mind, but didn't quite register in my ear.
Right. This is a style that some listeners find difficult because it's unfamiliar. But it is a very well-established style within Chicago and actually the nation itself, and has proven to be quite robust and lasting. So unlike the term avant-garde suggests a kind of a coming and going, you know, as new styles and features are developed, but avant-garde jazz has a very established following, a very positive reputation on the part of people who are interested in pushing the envelope of what the art form can be.
So we don't have any of Tamika Reid, but we do have something from Dana Hall.
Right, we do. So another one of our professors, Professor Dana Hall, is the jazz drummer on our faculty, also really a centerpiece of the jazz scene in Chicago. I suspect jazz fans in Chicago would think of him first as the drummer for the Chicago Jazz Ensemble, which is under the direction of John Faddis. And jazz fans will know that name. He's one of the most respected trumpet players in the nation today and often thought of as a protege of the great Dizzy Gillespie. So Dana is the drummer for the Chicago Jazz Ensemble, but certainly that does not that's not the beginning and end of all he does. He plays in many other venues and has his own quintet that he calls the Dana Hall Quintet. I suppose similar to Professor Gray, Dana is known for his versatility and just really virtuosic technique as a drummer. He's often described as resourceful, powerful, dynamic. And in his debut recording, which came out last year with his quintet called Into the Light, on the, I think, 9 or 10 tracks on that recording, listeners would hear quite an impressive range of styles and sounds of drumming, everything from light and delicate and sensitive to very powerful and complex drumming. So it's difficult for me to pick out one track to play here to try to represent his abilities and skills, but I did pick out the track called Black Mountain, and I think that listeners will readily recognize, you know, the skill and the musicianship that's there. So this is with the Dana Hall Quintet.
On Live and Local on FM 90.9. Dana Hall and the Dana Hall Quintet, right?
Right.
Performing his own composition called Black Mountain here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Sam Reese is my guest this hour, focusing on jazz in Chicago as it previews essentially the Chicago Jazz Festival, which starts next Thursday in Grant Park downtown. And what was the name of the CD you said that came from?
This comes from Dana's CD called Into the Light, from 2009.
And do you know who the bass player was?
I'm sorry, I do not.
Because he got kind of featured there.
Yes, he did. Five strong players.
But not Larry Gray, as far as you know.
Right, that was not Larry Gray, I'm sure of that.
You mentioned before introducing that piece that Dana Hall plays with the Chicago
Jazz Ensemble.
Ensemble.
Distinct from Chicago Jazz Orchestra.
Yeah, I didn't want to get that wrong.
Two different groups.
And that's led by John Faddis, trumpet player, who is going to be at the Allerton Music Barn Festival, which also is Labor Day weekend. And he'll be on this show, I think, a week from today, if I'm remembering right. As long as I'm mentioning who's going to be on the show when, tomorrow on Live and Local, Carl Kramer, who's director of the School of Music and whose brainchild the Allerton Music Barn Festival was, will be here to give a bit of an overview of that festival. We'll have a lot of guests from there next week, but he'll give an overview. We'll also hear from Steve Larson, who is music director of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, giving an overview of their just-announced concert season. So we'll be looking ahead on tomorrow's show and hearing some samples of these two, well, in one case, a festival, and in another case, a full concert season. It is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program today is made possible in part by 10,000 villages in downtown Champaign celebrating their 25th year of fair trade retail in downtown Champaign. 10,000 villages offers ground and whole bean coffee purchased from farmers using internationally recognized fair trade standards. So, Sam, we're coming up close on the end of the show, but we've got a little time left. I know you've got lots more music that we could share. We want to be sure to get at least a couple of more in. So who do we have lined up next?
Well, next is another alum of the School of Music, Lawrence Hobgood, who is the pianist for the very well-known male jazz singer Kurt Elling. And Lawrence Hobgood and Kurt Elling have been musical partners now for some years. I would venture to say as much as 15 years. And Lawrence, like I said, is an alum from our School of Music, a terrific pianist, and also very well known as an excellent composer and arranger. And through his work with Kurt Elling has truly developed a wide national and even international reputation for that work. We are fortunate once in a while to get to hear Kurt Elling and Lawrence Hobgood and the group here at the Krannert Center. They've performed, to my knowledge, 3 to 4 times in the last 5 years, so they perform locally as well. But Kurt Elling is a Chicago musician, bases all of his work out of there, even though, as I mentioned, he's truly a national and international touring musician now, but strongly associated with the city of Chicago. This year, Kurt Elling won a Grammy Award for his most recent release called Dedicated to You. And so he won the award for Best Male Jazz Vocal. Hmm. An interesting feature of that recording, which we'll hear, I hope, in just a moment, is the use of string quartet. So along with the traditional piano, bass, and drum accompaniments for the singer, there's a string quartet with some very intricate and musically interesting arrangements. Those were done by Lawrence Hobgood. So he's really very respected for his musically imaginative arrangements that he's doing. And this recording also features a saxophonist, Ernie Watts, who's closely associated with the work of Charlie Hayden, the legendary bassist out of Los Angeles, with the Charlie Hayden Quartet. And I particularly am a fan of Ernie Watts as a tenor sax player, a very beautiful, sweet tenor sax sound. This track is called Say It Over and Over Again, so a song I think that many listeners will recognize from the kind of the Great American Songbook.
And it's Kurt Elling, vocalist with pianist Lawrence Hobgood, and backing musicians joining, is backing even the right word?
Well,
they're all participating.
Side men and women.
Yeah, yeah, here on Live and Local. Kurt Elling, vocalist with Lawrence Hobgood on the piano, and was the arranger, I presume, of that version of Say It Over and Over Again, obviously a live performance. And Kurt Elling is going to be at the Chicago Jazz Festival, wrapping up the Chicago Jazz Festival next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. It opens a week from today, Thursday. It all happens in and around Grant Park. And that's been our focus on Live and Local today with Sam Reese, my guest. Sam, tell us again that the better website to go to get the complete schedule.
Okay, the one I prefer, again, is Jazz in Chicago, all one word, and it is the word IN. So again, jazzinchicago.org. And on the right side of that page, you will see prominent links to the schedule for the full jazz festival.
The festival website that you can also go to is chicagofestivals.net. At least that's where I found it. And then you got to sort of navigate around to find it.
Another website I have found helpful and has nice descriptions of the musicians is explorechicago.org. And then if you look carefully on the homepage, you'll see a link to the Chicago Jazz Festival with the full schedule, plus some nice program notes for each of the musicians.
And I found one called Center Stage Chicago, if you just want to explore the various Chicago jazz and other music clubs and venues, which are many, you can do that there as well. Sam, I appreciate your coming on the show. I know we've got one more track we're going to play just to take us out, but it's been a lot of fun to spend the hour.
It's been a pleasure to be here. I always enjoy talking about jazz.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious, and it's great to hear. You are listening to Illinois Public Media, WYL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And we have specific support for today's programs from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. It's going to be a sunny afternoon with a high around 78, clear tonight, a low near 52, and tomorrow sunny as well with a high temperature around 82 degrees, currently 77. And we have the Writer's Almanac coming up at a minute past 1. Classical music comes to you starting at 1:06. We're going to end up with Louis Armstrong and his Hot Five. What's the name of this? This
track is Hotter Than That from 1927, one of a great series of recordings that Armstrong made in Chicago.
On Live and Local.